has taken the lead. Maccabi Diva fighting back is Winning Bell. Maccabi Diva's got clear with about 80 metres to go. She's too good. She's the reigning queen. And Maccabi Diva wins at three quarters.
This is RSM 927's Race Day with Michael Felgate, Matt Stewart and Dan Malicki.
Oh, that was the superstar, Maccabi Diva, winning the 2005 Australian Cup. One of the greatest, Dan, we have ever seen.
Yeah, what a day. Big day for the Freedmans. Alinghi won the Newmarket. Mm. Remember coming out in one of the super dining boxes that day and brought my wife Tanya, and I kept telling her how good these mares were, so she stuck with the girls. I remember she put on a $10 straight quaddie. $10 straight quaddy and took Alinghi. Maccabi Diva, friends of ours had Skew F, and she thought she'll go with the girls and Gay Waterhouse and Elmer and the Guineas, and she got it. I spent about $200, and I may have got it, but she got $10 blonk on the quaddy that day. How good's that?
What did it pay?
Oh, look, it was...
Thank God there's an astute punter.
Might have paid about $90 or something.
Lovely.
Like that. Yeah, it was extraordinary. Yeah.
And she turns around and says, how easy is this?
Oh, I got about $30 back from a $200.
Well, let's hope we can get the quaddy blonk today. It'll pay a little bit more than that, I reckon, if we do. And one man who's got a big smile on his face, because where we are overlooking just to the right-hand side of the mounting yard, all the picnic tables and the umbrellas that are set up, not a cloud in the sky over fabulous Flemington. And the chairman, Neil Wilson, cannot wait for Super Saturday. Neil, it's dawned a beautiful day. How are you?
I'm very well, Michael. It's Super Saturday indeed. How wonderful does it look?
There's no doubt about that. What are we thinking crowd numbers today?
So we have a cap of 15,000. We're sold out on dining and everywhere that is that upper end. We've got a little bit of left for people that can come to the course directly and be ticketed, but we're thinking that we'll go pretty close to that number.
So those who haven't bought a ticket yet, but just what you said then, there might be a few out there going, oh, I can still go today. How do they, the walk-ups, what's the scenario for them? Just walk up?
They can walk up, Matt, yep. And we've got a spot there that they can get a ticket and take into the zone of the ticket.
Will there be a bit of an update on whether those tickets are still available closer to the first, that sort of thing?
It's pretty hard to do that,
yeah.
So we'll do our best to accommodate people that roll up. We've got a little bit of headroom, but dining is not an option. We're done on that. So we're really delighted, actually. We've had great support from our members who have, week by week, being able to come since the start of this year, have now seen that this is okay. It's not how I've seen it, but each time I come, I'm getting used to it. And each time I come, there's something more that I can do that I couldn't do last time. So we're slowly getting back and super excited about the momentum of getting back to normal.
I mentioned Rip Van Winkle earlier. If you'd been comatose for the last 12 months, it seems closer to normal than we've seen in a long time, which must be refreshing for you and for everyone here at the VRC and for Flemington. But it's also been a long haul for you. But it's a special day. It's you were outside of your big 4 days in the spring. This is the day.
That's right, Dan. This is the day. And over the years, it's been a real highlight for autumn nationally, Super Saturday. And, you know, we're really delighted. Today is the biggest day of attendance nationally, to our knowledge, for 12 months.
Gee.
So that for us is an important measure, not just for the VRC and for Flemington, but for racing generally, that we're getting back. And I think the journey has been one of focusing on keeping racing going, which everyone involved in that has done an outstanding job. Now we're surrounding it with the crowds coming back, so fingers crossed that momentum continues.
It's a very historic dip your lid day today, isn't it? The Newmarket Handicap and the Australian Cup, you think history? So I think that even young people are attracted to history, and I think that has a real connection to people, especially with the Newmarket. We have been talking throughout the day about moving feasts of summer and autumn racing, and with various races popping up, how others might have to adjust. And we have spoken a fair bit this morning about the All-Star Mile and the ripple effect of its presence on the summer landscape, and maybe whether it has taken a little bit of a pulling power away from the Australian Cup. Is there room to move around the All-Star Mile or within the All-Star Mile with some of these big races in the future, do you think?
I think it's a balance, Matt. You know, you talk about the tradition, and clearly these two races, the Group 1 races today, go back 148, 159 years, and there's it is tradition that is attracting new audiences as well, but we're also attracting new audiences with new initiatives. Rapid racing, for example, not so long ago through Twilight Racing, and of course the All-Star Mile. Yours Time Owl, Moonee Valley next week. It's the last leg of this round in its rotation sense. There'll be a review as to how that goes forward, and part of that review will include how does it fit into the, if you like, the pattern of autumn, and how do we make sure that we get the most out of the race. I think it's interesting, the talk of how it's impacted the racing. There's two aspects of that. There's the races themselves and the horses in the race, and there's lots of debate there. But there's also about the engagement on course. I'm not sure how you measure that, but everything I've just said this morning says we're doing pretty well today in terms of engagement.
And would a star runner make any real material difference?
I think we always want the quality of the race to be as best as it can, but I would... I'm not sitting with the team thinking, well, this has really hurt us. In fact, there's an argument to say that it's lifted the brand awareness of racing, and there's a balance issue there. I think there's some things around the edges that we could do better and get the flow better and get the connections better for all of us, all of the clubs. But all in all, today's a pretty good measure. If you say crowds, field sizes, the wagering will be up again. It's going to be a pretty good day on most measures.
Yeah.
Well, the field sizes are phenomenal. It's the old-fashioned Newmarket, and I can't remember the last time an Australian Cup had a field of 17 in it as well. So I'd imagine that will then augur well for turnover, which has been through the roof.
So that's one of the key indicators, Michael. Absolutely. It's the biggest field for 25 years.
25 years.
A little bit more, actually, since Saitley in 1996. So It's a big field. I think the fields generally today are pretty good. And the wagering side of things, we've had a really strong summer and coming into autumn now. So we'll expect some of those multi-digit trends, increased trends to continue. But the field sizes are an important part of that.
We had a good chat to Josh Blanksby 2 weeks ago about the possible dip now that the COVID surge has happened with wagering, and how we latch onto the wave and translate that into not just wagering but fans and affection and things like that. I guess that's going to be the challenge for the individual city clubs, Country Racing Victoria, Racing Victoria, or even Racing New South Wales, all across Australia. And I would imagine the next year or two for the VRC is very much about how do we hang on to this and what do we do with it.
Yeah, so it possibly is a challenge. We're looking at much more as an opportunity. We've been working on new audiences for some time. We're targeting a much younger demographic through the carnival coverage, and as well as traditional racing. We've got multiple channels to enable that. So we feel that we had a very big increase year on year through Cup Week of under 50 demographic, and we've seen through COVID the attraction of a whole new audience as well, that when racing was the only sport that was on. And part of getting people back to the track is also giving them the experience of being on track. And the thought of they won't come, I think... I don't think that's right. I think we'll see people wanting to experience the movement, the colour, the horse, the atmosphere. It's very different being on track to being at home. And if we can just bring a few, it'll drag. What happens in the younger generation, they'll pull people along, and we're seeing that. And we've got a whole lot of plans there to build that momentum.
Are they essentially still attracted to the traditional things? I know a lot of clubs, we were talking about this in Tassie with the Tassie Racing Minister last week as well, about what's the pitch to the younger generation? Is it reinventing the wheel, or do the traditional attractions still attract them, like the horse, as you said, colour movement, horse and sights and smells? Is that still the biggest selling point to the younger generation?
Well, I think you've got to have a unique proposition in those themes. And for us at Flemington, we've got so much to give there. Think about dress code. We have no intentions of backing that off in terms of membership, because and people love it. Yep. They love the fact that they can go there and be dressed up.
Look good.
And that's a point of difference. Mm. Not everyone loves it, but that's our brand. That's what we want to do. When you come to the course, you can expect it'll look great. You can expect that it'll be a pleasurable area to be in. And you can expect the racing to be first class. So that's really how we're trying to build that feel of being at Flemington, to bring people in so there's a consistency but a difference.
Yep. I was watching, we're going to put my foot in here, I was watching Married at First Sight the other day, but there was three different betting companies that were advertising through the course of that show. So obviously they've identified, we either punters watch it or potential punters watch it, which gets me to the COVID situation and almost the phoenix out of the ashes. Are you getting some numbers suggesting that newer punters, newer racing people have come through that COVID period?
Absolutely. I think there's I think you'd be brave to say that the momentum of year-on-year increases will continue. But if we're able to hold the base of what this year's created into the future, we're significantly better off. The real opportunity is to continue that, but also to build around that the on-course experience, and for them to love the story of the sport and to promote the sport as well as the wagering aspect. And I think we're seeing appetite for that through our various social channels, our digital channels, that people are interested in stories of the horse, stories of the participants. I mean, Jamie Carr's a great example for young women to be attracted to not only the horse and the riding of the horse, but the sport itself and the stories of men and women competing in the same sport on an equal basis. That attracts interest, and people, young people, like those interest facts, and they like to jump onto those and share those.
I'm glad you said that, because I think the most neglected or just sort of not quite realised yet marketing tool for racing generally around the world is the women, not just standing on the same podium as the men, but beating them week in, week out, and maybe even bringing an X factor to the table that was completely unrecognised. Yeah. So, Jamie Carr, before every feature race meeting, there should be a photo of a Blanc on the, in the newspaper. So, hey, this is a really random one. First of all, can we just establish that Dan's the only one who watches Married at First Sight in the room?
I have had a glimpse myself.
Thank you, Neil.
Honesty is always the best policy, Neil.
For demographic purposes.
Absolutely. Right, okay. And where's the shop big enough to buy this many umbrellas?
Well, I can tell you, that, Matt, there's been a lot of stress about the umbrellas, and we have had to buy a few.
Is it simply Bunnings?
No, there's a supplier that they're particular umbrellas that need to be put in a certain way and of a certain quality. So I'm not saying you can't get those at Bunnings, but the volume that we needed to do some work.
And I thought there would be a logistical issue. There's that many of them.
There is. And there's random questions left, right and centre, which is what... Are you wanting... You're eyeing off one, aren't you?
I am a bit of a pitcher. As Colgate knows, there's nothing that he's placed that I haven't stolen.
I was going to say, just be careful.
So.
There might be one of those hanging out the back of Matty's car by the end of the day. Hey, now, Neil, as we say goodbye to you, can you leave us with a winner? Who do you like in the Newmarket or the Australian Cup?
I think September Run will be hard to beat. And I'd love Holmesman to win.
Yeah, it'd be a good story, wouldn't it, after we spoke to Nick Williams today. Neil, enjoy today. It is going to be such a special day for the club and everyone who was back on course. It's an amazing stat you said. The biggest crowd we will have had on a race course anywhere in Australia in the last 12 months is today.
Absolutely, and we're super pleased to be here.
Good on you, Neil. Neil Wilson, the chairman of the VRC. Gents, we've only got a few minutes.
Right.
I haven't even done my circles yet.
You need to construct your quaddies. And
thanks, Neil. We'll see you during the day.